Hello there, faithful listener. You've tuned in to Season 7 of the Bible Explained podcast. So make sure to grab your cup of coffee, because today we are going to be discussing the book of 1 Samuel. Happy Good Friday, faithful listeners. Today, I think, is the saddest day that Christians reflect on. This is the day that we remember Jesus's death, when he died on the cross and saved us from our sins. And even though today we're not going to be talking about the death of Jesus or the resurrection story, we are going to be talking about God's wonderful mercy, which I think has a lot to do with Jesus's death and resurrection, obviously. So let's go ahead and read 1 Samuel 21, verses 10 through 15 today. We are going to be talking about David pretending to be a madman, whether this was in line with what God wanted David to do or not, and just in general, God's fantastic mercy to all of humanity. Grab your cup of 7 Weeks Coffee, the coffee brand that supports life in the womb. They are a fantastic coffee company that has been able to donate, I think it's been over $300,000 in the past 2 years to pregnancy centers across the U.S. They are doing such good work in protecting unborn babies. And I think also that their coffee just tastes really good as well. You'll find them linked in the description of this episode. When you click my link, 10% gets donated to P40 Ministries, and also 10% of your purchase gets donated to pregnancy centers across the U.S. So check out 7 Weeks Coffee, linked in the description of this episode. Anyway, grab your hot beverage this morning, and let's give reverence to God's word. David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul, and went to Achish the king of Gath. The servants of Achish said to him, "Isn't this David the king of the land? Didn't they sing to one another about him in dances, saying, 'Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s?' David laid up these words in his heart, and he was very afraid of Achish the king of Gath. He changed his behavior before them and pretended to be insane in their hands, and scribbled on the doors of his gate and let his spittle fall down on his beard. Then Achish said to his servants, 'Look, you see the man is insane. Why then have you brought him to me? Do I lack madmen that you have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Should this fellow come into my house?'" Okay, so something interesting is happening here. So last we left off, David was actually at the temple, and he lied to one of the Levitical priests who was at the temple, saying that he had business from King Saul. And so the Levitical priest, of course, believed David. Why wouldn't he? And helped David on his journey. But directly after all that happens, David flees from Israel. It says in verse 10, David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul. So he was deeply afraid of Saul, and he left Israel completely. Right after he was done at the temple, right after he was done lying to the priest, he left that area and actually went to the Philistines, is what it says. He went to Achish, the king of Gath. Now, it's very clear that David was not in his right mind when he did this. He was allowing fear to control his actions instead of trusting in God. The Philistines were his sworn enemies. He had killed hundreds, if not thousands, of Philistines. Not to mention, he had Goliath's sword with him. So he was not in his right mind to go to Philistine territory and try to potentially blend in to the Philistines when he was holding Goliath's sword. And David himself literally said, "There is no other sword like this sword." And Goliath was a notorious Philistine warrior who was a giant. So you would think that somebody in the Philistine region would recognize Goliath's sword that David is carrying. But it doesn't seem like David was really thinking about that. Instead, I think he was just letting his fear control him and thought that for some reason going and hiding among the Philistines would be the best course of action. So that's what he does. He's got Goliath's sword with him. And of course, somebody recognizes him. It says he went to Achish, the king of Gath. And most likely, I don't think David voluntarily went to Achish. Because if you look at Psalm 56, which was a psalm written by David, it actually says in verse 1, this was a poem by David when the Philistines seized him in Gath. So I do not believe that David purposefully went to King Achish. I think he was probably wandering around Philistine territory. Somebody recognized him or Goliath's sword or both and captured him and took him to King Achish. So it says here that the servants of Achish said to the king, "Isn't this David, the king of the land?" Didn't they sing to one another about him in dances, saying, "Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s? Look, king, we found the king of Israel, David. We found the guy that killed Goliath and who has caused us so much trouble. The guy that all these people were singing about, that famous song that was going throughout all the land. Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. I do find it very funny that the Philistines thought of David as the king of Israel. It seems they had a little bit more discernment than King Saul did. So they're like, "Look, we found King David. We have brought him to you, King Achish." And so when David heard them say all this stuff, it says David laid up these words in his heart, and he was very afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. So now David has two problems. He has two kings that are going to potentially kill him. First, he has King Saul in Israel, and now that he's in the Philistine territory, he has King Achish ready to kill him. And so what happens after this is King Achish likely threw David into prison. And so now I'm going to go to Psalm chapter 56 and read this. This was the psalm that I briefly mentioned a moment ago. David wrote this psalm or this poem when he was imprisoned in Gath by King Achish. And I'm going to go ahead and read the whole thing because it's not very long. It says, "Be merciful to me, God, for man wants to swallow me up. All day long he attacks and oppresses me. My enemies want to swallow me up all day long, for there are many who fight proudly against me. When I am afraid, I will put my trust in you. In God I praise his word. In God I put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? All day long they twist my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They conspire and lurk, watching my steps. They are eager to take my life. Shall they escape by iniquity? In anger, cast down the people's God. You count my wanderings. You put my tears into your container. Aren't they in your book? Then my enemies shall turn back in that day that I call. I know this, God is for me. In God, I will praise his word. In Yahweh, I will praise his word. I have put my trust in God. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Your vows are on me, God. I will give thank offerings to you. For you have delivered my soul from death and prevented my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living." When you read Psalm 56 and understand the context of how and why David wrote this psalm, it really is so powerful, isn't it? It's a very powerful psalm because David was terrified when he wrote this psalm. He was terrified of Saul and he was terrified of King Achish. And yet he's writing this psalm and also saying, "When I am afraid, I will put my trust in you. I will not be afraid. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?" So this psalm is so powerful. And it's a very beautiful psalm. So what happens after this is, if we go back to 1 Samuel 21, David changed his behavior before them, before the Philistines, and pretended to be insane in their hands and scribbled on the doors of the gate and let his spittle fall down on his beard. So he lies again, honestly, David is lying in front of the Philistines to save his life. I don't know if David was inspired by God to do this, or if he did this out of fear and out of a way to protect himself. Personally, I am going to lean towards David did this out of fear, because God doesn't cause people to lie. He doesn't ever tell people to lie. Lying is in fact a sin laid out by God. God says that one of the sins he deeply hates, despises, is a lying tongue. And because scripture says that God does not cause people to sin, I do not think that this behavior was inspired by God, because this was, in fact, a lie. David was not insane, but yet David was pretending to be insane. Now, of course, I have heard other arguments. In fact, when I read commentaries for this portion of scripture, a lot of people do believe that David was inspired by God to do this. And I can see their point of view, but personally, I do not think that God causes people to lie. And personally, I also think that if David had been honest with King Achish and said, "Yes, I am David who killed 10,000 Philistines in my lifetime," that God still would have rescued David, because David was supposed to be the next king of Israel. So no matter what David did, he was going to get out of this situation. So I do think that David was in a moment of weakness, was struggling with fear at this time, as we can very clearly see from Psalm 56, that he was struggling with fear, and he pretended to be insane due to his fear. So it says that Achish said to his servants, "Look, you see this man is insane. Why have you brought him to me? Do I lack madmen that you have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Should this fellow come into my house?" So now Achish, King Achish, decides that this guy that he has in captivity is just an insane person. And he's like, "You idiot servants, why did you bring a madman to me? I have plenty of madmen in my presence. I don't need another one. Get rid of him." That's what he says. He says, "I don't need another madman. Get him out of here." And so David leaves. He is freed because he pretended to be a madman. Now, there's one more psalm I'd like to direct your attention to, and this is Psalm 34. So I'm going to go ahead and read this particular psalm to you. This is by David when he pretended to be insane before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. So first and foremost, it mentions the king's name is Abimelech here. And I actually question that, because in 1 Samuel 21, it says that the king's name was Achish. And so I was like, why does this king have two different names? And so I found out that the term Abimelech was actually a title for a king, which meant the father of a king. So David likely was just using the title of King Achish, which was Abimelech, and not King Achish's actual name. So here's what it says, Psalm 34, verse 1. "By David, when he pretended to be insane before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. I will bless Yahweh at all times. His praise will always be in my mouth. My soul shall boast in Yahweh. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify Yahweh with me. Let's exalt his name together. I sought Yahweh, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant. Their faces shall never be covered with shame. This poor man cried, and Yahweh heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. Yahweh's angel encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that Yahweh is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear Yahweh, all you saints, for there is no lack with those who fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek Yahweh shall not lack any good thing. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of Yahweh. Who is someone who desires life and loves many days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Yahweh's eyes are toward the righteous. His ears listen to their cry. Yahweh's face is against those who do evil. to cut off their memory from the earth. The righteous cry and Yahweh hears and delivers them out of all of their troubles. Yahweh is near to those who have a broken heart, and he saves those who have a crushed spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but Yahweh delivers him out of them all. He protects all of his bones. Not one of them is broken. Evil shall kill the wicked. Those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. Yahweh redeems the soul of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him shall be condemned. So this is a psalm of thanksgiving by David when he was freed from King Achish. And I love the part where it says, Yahweh delivered me from all my fears. I think that is extremely beautiful because David himself admits in this psalm that when he was with King Achish, he was terrified. He was very afraid. And the other psalm, Psalm 56, that he wrote when he was in prison in Gath, he mentions that he was afraid, but he would not fear because God was on his side. So you guys might wonder, why would God be on David's side if he lied so many times? Like the entire chapter of 1 Samuel 21 is basically, it could be entitled David's Lies. Why would God be on David's side if he was lying? Because God was insanely merciful, and God is insanely merciful. He is always merciful. If he destroyed every single person for every lie they committed, there would not be a single person left alive on earth, because every one of us, without exception, has lied at some point in their lives. And it says in scripture, God hates lies. He hates a lying tongue. But God is merciful. He loves people. I just read today in Ezekiel chapter 18, God was talking to his prophet Ezekiel, and he was saying, I hate it when people die. I hate it. I do not rejoice when wicked people die. I hate it. I want all people to turn toward me so that they can live. I desire life for all people. You can read that in Ezekiel chapter 18. The entire chapter is fantastic, talking about God's mercy and God's goodness toward sinful people. God is so merciful. He was merciful toward King Saul so many times. And now he's being merciful to David, who, even though David is a sinner and is proving himself to be quite a liar, God is still merciful and forgiving toward David. And that should be super encouraging to us as well. Because I think a lot of times people read these stories in the Old Testament and they just assume that David or anybody else was somehow in sinless perfection. You know, they never sinned. Every single thing that they do was completely inspired by God. And if they did sin, you know, it was just like once in a while. No, when we read scripture, every single person that we read about is a horrible sinner, except for Jesus. He is the only one who never sinned because he was God and he could not sin. Everybody else is a terrible sinner. David was a terrible sinner. Saul was a terrible sinner. Samuel was a sinner. Every single person that we read about sinned as much as the next person. But God showed mercy toward those sinners. And that should be encouraging to us, because if David was no different than you and I, and he sinned so much, and God just kept showing him mercy, that means that God is also showing us mercy as well. He's showing you mercy. He's showing me mercy when I sin. He's a merciful God who protects and helps his people in spite of their sin nature. Now, of course, that does not give us an excuse to keep on sinning. That's going to be talked about in the New Testament. I think there's a verse that says, because God's grace is so good, should we keep on sinning? Absolutely not. So we should be turning away from our sins as much as we humanly can, and seeking forgiveness and reconciliation with God. Don't forget about Jesus's amazing sacrifice that he did for you today. I hope that you all have a really, really great Good Friday, and that you're able to reflect on the death of Jesus and just why he had to die, and the mercy that God showed us through Jesus. I will see you all on Monday. I hope you have a fantastic Easter Sunday and that all of you are blessed. Happy listening, happy Easter, and God bless.